An expedition to tap into a lake buried 3 kilometres beneath the Antarctic ice sheet kicks off next month after 16 years of planning. Scientists will be looking for the chemical hallmarks of life, as well as bacteria and other microbes in the lake water, which has been cut off from the outside world for tens of thousands, if not millions of years. Chris Hill from the British Antarctic Survey in Cambridge has the unenviable task of being in charge of the operation and actually drilling into the lake. So what is this lake, known as Lake Ellsworth, and what are the conditions like there?
Lake Ellsworth is a liquid body of water underneath approximately 3.2 kilometres of ice sheet. It's a fairly sizable lake. It's probably about the size of Lake Windermere, and it's been cut off for, as you say, many tens or possibly hundreds of thousands of years from our biosphere. The basic premise is that where there's water, there's life. We see that all over our planet, and there's a very special relationship between water and life. But because of the extreme conditions of Lake Ellsworth, the dark, the high pressure, the apparent lack of energy transfer, we really wonder what that life might look like. It's a fascinating exploration to find something new.
What keeps it as water under all the ice?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's actually quite an easy answer. The Earth is relatively quite a hot body. There's a lot of geothermal heating effects underneath the Earth, and ice, for all its cold, is actually quite a good insulator. So if you get a thick enough layer of ice over a hot body, it's inevitable that you're going to get pockets of water.
And we think that water's been there for a very long time.
Again, it's quite difficult to say until we can actually access the lake and get a sediment core to find out when that ice sheet last collapsed. But the hypothesis is it's many hundreds of thousands of years, possibly as many as a million.
Wow, that's quite some time, isn't it? What about on the surface? What are the conditions that you've got to work in like? What's it like up there?
It's not pleasant. We're on the top of a very open ice plateau. It's very cold, so even in the middle of summer, we're looking at temperatures of minus 25 degrees Celsius with average wind speeds of 25 knots. So it's not pleasant. There's no shelter. There's nothing anywhere near us for about 200 kilometres. There's no mountains. So we really are exposed. We have to take everything in. There's nothing there already, so we have to take all our equipment in, but all our living accommodation and everything with us. We'll be living in tents, and we'll be wearing probably the thickest clothing you've ever seen.
Michelin man positive.
Completely.
So how will you access the water in the lake? Because it's under 3 kilometres of ice. It's a long way down.
That's right. There's many ways we could do this. There's a lot of techniques for drilling into ice, and scientists have been doing this for many years. But by far the cleanest and quickest is hot water drilling. And essentially, it's the same as a jet wash that you might use on your car. We're going to take some water from the melted snow, the ice on the surface, and we're going to heat it, and we're going to clean it, and then we're going to pump it up to a very high pressure and push it through a very long hose. And it's a very quick and efficient and very clean way of drilling.
So this will start at the surface and slowly melt its way down towards the lake?
Exactly, and not so slowly, actually. 3.2 kilometres we will probably get through from the surface to the lake in about 60 hours, so two and a half days.
And you've got a 3 kilometre long hose pipe?
We've got 3.5 kilometres. and that's another interesting thing, actually, because the number of engineering challenges we've faced to get this far are huge. And even simple things like you wouldn't think it would be difficult to get a 3.5 kilometre hose made. It actually is. We only found two companies in the world that could produce a hose to our specification. So, I mean, just the hose itself, just a simple piece of tubing, was a real phenomenal engineering achievement.
So the hot water goes down the hose. This melts the ice in front of it. Mm-hmm. How do you stop introducing the very molecules that you're going to go hunting for in the lake into the lake by dissolving them out of the ice and pushing them in at this very high temperature?
Yeah, that's quite a good question. The preservation of the lake has been paramount in our minds right from day one for two reasons. One, obviously, we have an environmental responsibility to keep the lake pristine. But probably more selfishly, we actually want to preserve our samples. We don't want to be measuring anything that we've put into the lake accidentally. So it's twofold. Firstly, the water we're using to drill is taken from the background ice. So there's nothing that we're going to use that wouldn't come into contact with the lake at some point anyway. But more than that, the drill has been designed so that as we fire hot water out of the nozzle, the actual melted ice that's in the way will actually flush back up the borehole to the surface, keeping it away from the lake. So the only water that will actually reach the lake in the end is the water that's already gone through our filtration system and has been pumped down at high pressure.
So you're filtering all the water that you're using for the melting?
Absolutely. Every stage of this program has a cleaning protocol, and for the water we filter to beyond pharmaceutical levels.
So that means screening out bugs and things like that?
Completely.
So how will you know when you've actually got through the last bit of slush and you're now in the lake?
There's two ways. We'll know when we're close because the radio echo sound and seismic data has given us a really accurate distance to the surface of the lake. And we obviously will know how much hose we've paid out, and we will know the stretch of that hose. So we'll know when we're within a few metres. But then what we have is a suite of pressure sensors that will allow us to monitor the change in water levels at the top of the borehole. So we anticipate that as we break through to the lake, we won't fully have accurately equalise the pressure of the lake. So as soon as we do break through, there'll be a pressure change in the borehole, and we'll be able to sense that, and that will give us the indication.
But like the Coke bottle, when you take the top off and it fizzes up a bit, you'll see a little pressure change.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see a pressure change, and we should be able to measure that, and that will be our accurate indication that
we've
broken
through. And then you'll drop in some probes to measure things in the lake.
That's exactly right. So when we finish drilling, we need to recover the drill hose because we can't put two things down the borehole at the same time. So we recover the drill hose. And then because we're not using any antifreeze to keep the hole open, we have just 24 hours to deploy two instruments. The first instrument is a sampling probe, which will take water samples and will also flush through some of the filtrate, the background filtrate in the lake, and will take a small amount of mud from the bottom of the lake. We then recover that and we deploy a sediment corer, which we hope to get a 3-metre core of sediment from the base of the lake, which will give us a really good time record of what's happened in the West Antarctic ice sheet in years gone by.
Chris Hill from the British Antarctic Survey in Cambridge, talking to our own Chris Smith.